Introducing Bluehost Cloud, ultra-fast WordPress hosting with 100% uptime. Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Of course you do. And now you can have all three with Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost. With 100% uptime and incredibly speedy load times, your WordPress websites will be dependable and lightning fast on a global scale. Plus, your sites can handle even the biggest traffic spikes without going down or lagging. And with Bluehost Cloud, you get 24/7 WordPress priority support, meaning you're connected to WordPress experts anytime you need them. Not to mention, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. So, what are you waiting for? Get Bluehost Cloud today by visiting Bluehost.com. That's Bluehost.com.
Everybody, welcome to the HB Podcast. I'm your host, Dustin, here with me, the beautiful boys, Ben.
Hello.
And the homecoming, Phil.
It's always a homecoming.
Homecoming queen.
Because it's
always a homecoming. It's weeks in between lately.
The ideal experience, I think, would be an alternate every other week. But it's been kind of like chunks, which is fine.
Let's be honest. An ideal would be Brandon never is on the podcast.
Well, he's getting his skin flakes all over
right,
your chair.
His skin flakes and his... It's way more editing for you, I feel, when Brandon's on the podcast. Mm. Things like that. But
true.
So in an ideal world, I'd be here every week, but
you know, Brandon is a wild card on the podcast, mm-hmm. which is good and bad. It mm-hmm. makes it more interesting as a host to like try to navigate and, you know, whatever, right. But
he's our, Charlie to the Patty's Pub gang.
Oh, yes. Wow. Yeah,
so,
that's true.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah. So then
why don't we give him any Charlie work then?
I think we do. Don't
he just
we?
Doesn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think he does.
Yeah. Okay, then if we had to place other members of the Hands of Phantom team as members of
okay.
It's Always Sunny.
Okay. Boy, that's tough. I don't know if the rest of us fit any of those bills. Mm. Let's think.
Problem is, I think we all fit like, the same one
right.
at times.
We're all,
that's
yeah.
true. Clearly, we're all Dennis.
All Dennis.
All very good looking, but kind of douchey.
Yes.
And nefarious.
Yes, for sure. None of us are really Mac because we're not really that dumb. And we don't really care about, well, Brandon's got a little Mac in him sometimes.
Mm. So Brandon's Mac and Charlie.
Yeah, that's true.
Who's D, though?
D, I don't think any of us are D. There's no one that like we don't like and treat that poorly.
Mm. Not yet. We need to find someone, though.
No one looks like a bird.
Yeah. How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you?
Not bad. Yeah. I was up very late last night, like getting into bed at 4.
Wow.
Because of some different podcast work. So I ended up getting up late at like 10. Mm. And I just felt awful. But other than that, you know, pretty decent day.
Did you feel awful because you got up at 10 or because you went to bed at 4?
Both.
Oh, okay.
Because it was like I woke up and it was late and I still felt tired.
Right. Mm.
And it was like, well, I really can't. This is a lose-lose.
Yes.
Half my day is gone and I'm still not well rested. But
right.
Yep.
It is what it is.
True. Yeah.
But yeah, what about you, Ben?
Here we are.
Pretty much the same.
Same?
Yeah. Just, you know, getting lots of work done. Staying busy.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get into dreams.
Wait, hold on.
Well,
you mentioned about being up till 4.
Yeah.
We were on Slack last night, or I was on Slack last night, and Phil sent something through at like 3 a.m.
Yeah,
which
I got
is unusual.
I got up to pee.
It's unusual for Phil.
Yeah, that's.
I responded. It is very typical for me to respond. But then I looked and I saw a little green light beside Dustin's name, and I thought, is Dustin still awake? Mm-hmm. And he was, but I didn't ask. I just assumed.
Yeah,
I don't even know what conversation that was in.
I was doing work for both of my jobs.
Yeah,
that then got pushed into late into the evening.
The conversation that was we were talking about when we went to PAX last year, and you and Dave had to share a bathroom
sticky towel. Yeah,
a little sticky, was it?
Dave's sticky towel with the maple syrup and the Canadian.
Here's the thing: you two had to share. There was not enough towels at PAX last year, and so you and Dave shared a towel.
Right, we shared a towel. But here's how we did it. Is that what you're thinking?
I don't think I would share a towel with my wife.
So
to be honest, I mean, I would, but I would rather not.
Here's how we did it. I think
want to go first.
In our heads, this is how we justified it. Because every morning when we started the shower system, the towel was dry. So every morning we each had our half of the towel. Dave would dry off on half, and then I would dry off on half. And in our minds, that was good. Not really thinking and trying to keep out of your mind the next day that you both already dried off on this towel, and you don't know which half the other guy used the day before. Mm. You just know that today this is my half of the dry towel. And it worked. It worked. I think by the end of it, it was a pretty gross, wet, never dry towel. But
now, those towels were small,
too. I was actually drying off with old T-shirts by the last day or so.
Right. They were small towels, but also the fact that we were in Boston,
yeah,
the world's, you know, one of the world's largest cities, or yeah, not the world's, but America's most mm-hmm. renowned cities.
Definitely.
And at any moment, we could have gotten an extra towel.
Yes. We did look at CVS.
We did look, yes.
Yeah, in our defense, we looked at one drugstore. They didn't have it, so we got the ramen and the Pop-Tarts, and we shared a sticky towel the rest of the week.
I'm already thinking about those Pop-Tarts.
Oh, man, I can't wait. It's the only right time. Now. That's the only time I eat Pop-Tarts throughout the year.
Yeah. A lot of Pop-Tarts.
A lot of ramen.
A lot of
garbage.
Special chocolate. Cheeseburgers. Maybe. Yeah.
Special chocolate, yes. Hopefully the lines won't be as long this year.
Right, right.
There's so many different things happening in Boston. But the worst thing is that it's at the end of February we're going, and it's going to be a disaster because of how cold it will be. Right on the water. Wind whipping in your face.
Wind whipping.
How many? Okay. I'm trying to think how many PAXes that I've been to now.
This will be my third.
Well, you went.
Then me four, and you've been five. Mm-hmm. So, okay.
Coming up this year?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That'll be quite a few. It's always a good time, though. That's honestly, it's like the best time. There are many times throughout the year that I'm like, man, I could go for a trip with the boys. So,
yep.
Oh, good trip with the Handsome Phantom, because now we have Boo joining us.
Boo's coming along.
So, should be a good time.
Hot now, damn. Wait a minute. How many months out? We're at November, December, January, February. We're only 4 months out. How many months away are we from the last one?
Seven?
Well, from last PAX or last?
So, we're closer to the next PAX than we are from the last PAX.
Okay. For sure.
Well, yeah, but the last boy trip was
E3.
That's right.
So,
yeah.
Crazy.
Only 11 months between PAXes this time, though.
That's weird, yeah.
So
also, still up for consideration, the Game Awards. Oh, the no Phil, though.
Yeah, I'll be at Disney.
Yeah.
We'll see. See what airline prices do.
Right, yeah. It's so all over the place.
Yep.
It's a problem.
I will, the day of the Game Awards, I will probably be at Animal Kingdom in the day, and then I'll probably have to stream them from my hotel room that night.
I just want to give you guys a quick update. My wife, Holly, just texted me saying that she unintentionally talked to the drummer of the Police just within the last couple minutes because of she's doing this music thing in Pittsburgh and he's the composer.
Uh-huh.
So she just talked to Stuart Copeland.
I have a similar story.
She didn't know it when she was speaking to him?
I don't know. She just said I unintentionally talked to Stuart Copeland. So that was cool.
Yeah.
What I told her, I said, you should have gone up to him and been like, I'm such a big fan of your work. The Spyro soundtrack was amazing. I'm sure that he almost has never gotten that.
That's probably true.
So it would have been really funny. But.
Yeah. Similar story, though. I'll just add this in real fast. Years ago, before me and you were in a band, Dustin.
Yes.
In another band. We were playing a show at this place, and we went in for our pre-production meeting the night before, or a couple days before. And Puddle of Mud was playing, matter of fact. And they got lost. And they came up and asked us if we knew how to get to the stage. Oh. So we, you know, accidentally showed Puddle of Mud how to get to their show.
Interesting.
So it's similar to the Police running into them accidentally.
Yeah.
I imagine. Puddle of Mud's terrible.
They're very terrible. They're the worst.
I can't even think of a single Puddle of Mud song.
There's one.
Oh, there's one.
Yeah.
Just don't need to worry about it. just move on. Okay. Let's talk about our dreams and our shout outs. Mm-hmm. Who would like to go first?
I go first.
Okay.
I've been here for a minute. I'm going to start with my shout out today.
Okay.
Shout outs coming first. I have shouted out Star Wars a little bit in the past. I've also been very skeptical about Star Wars in the past. But last night, as of the day we recorded this, I guess a couple nights ago, when you finally hear this, they dropped the last Star Wars trailer for Rise of Skywalker. Well, obviously, it doesn't give us a good indication of what the film's going to be. It got me excited in a way that I would have used to expect, but almost didn't expect this time. There's even a little line where C-3PO kind of choked me up a little bit. So that it brought up some emotion.
I'll be honest, Phil. I watched this trailer as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I really didn't feel much of anything.
Wow.
For it. I just felt like I don't know what's this movie supposed to be about.
Right.
And Colin posted a tweet that I kind of agreed with. It's like, I don't feel like I really know these characters at this point still. Where, you know, this is the third of, you know, the end of the trilogy. And I'm like, I don't know what's really going on.
Mm-hmm.
I feel that. I feel similar to how you felt.
Yeah.
My thing about, you just said about not knowing the characters. I'm wondering, and it's impossible to actually know this, but had we been alive, or I guess we were partially alive, but had we been around and, you know, cognizant after the first trilogy came out, would we have felt like we knew the characters going into the third movie the same way we do now, or less, or more?
Yeah.
I mean, Luke was more fleshed out for sure than anybody in the new series. There's no doubt about that. But everybody else, I don't know.
But he wasn't even fully fleshed out until Jedi. I mean, we didn't know certain facts about his
lineage. Or
anything. I mean, I guess lineage. I'm trying to not spoil a 30-year-old movie, 40-year-old movie. But
I think commercials do that. So
So you know, we find out later that he probably shouldn't have kissed some of the people that he kissed throughout the movie.
Oh yeah,
right.
You know, things like that. But we didn't know that till almost the end of Return of the Jedi, which would have been
But I'm not just talking about character development as much, but. Here's the really interesting thing to me about this, Phil, and I want to somehow get inside your brain, even though I don't think it's possible.
It's impossible.
Is that right around the time that the Avengers movie came out this year?
Yeah.
I remember you saying to me,
mm-hmm.
I don't think I'll ever care about Star Wars again.
Yep.
And now you're like Mr. Gung-Ho.
Yep.
And I'm totally cool with that. But what do you think it was between then and now that changed your mind? Because it was before this trailer.
It was before this trailer. The history, my whole life, it's been...
Yo-yo.
It's been so big.
Yeah.
Like, it's just been such a big part of it. And I will spoil this part. It's in the trailer. I don't really care. But when 3PO says, you know, I'm just trying to look at my friends one last time or whatever, like, I felt that. Like, this has been the biggest thing in my life since I was a kid.
Yeah. Me too.
And it's actually ending
between now. That and Spider-Man.
Right.
Yeah.
The Avengers has been huge for like my adult life, the last 10 years or so, 12 years maybe. But like an Endgame hit me hard. And this is going to have to really be good to hit me as hard as Endgame did.
Right.
But I think just knowing that like it, you're saying goodbye to some friends. We've already said goodbye to some. And good or bad, like this is the end of whatever the Skywalker saga is. This is it.
So. To me, my
or
hope.
Or is it?
Well, yeah,
you never know.
My hope is that this movie, they're kind of advertising as like this is a celebration and finality, not to just this new trilogy, but to the trilogy of trilogies.
Yes, so that's true.
My question is like, okay, are we going to see connections from not only the, you know, episodes 4, 5, and 6, but also 1, 2, and 3.
I think so. And I don't think that the locations were the same. And I really do think there was misdirection in the trailer. There was imagery in this trailer that reminded me of all three trilogies.
Sure.
Right.
So there was stuff that reminded me of, like, you know, Attack of the Clones, you know, specifically the rain. And, you know, it looks like she's on a ship maybe and not actually like, but, you know, it reminded me of scenes from that. You had stuff obviously from this trilogy. I think that it's going to really tie it all together. And if it doesn't, that sucks.
Right.
Like, that's just, I don't know. We'll find out. I think JJ can do it. He's never really finished anything.
That's right.
So we'll see what he can do.
Anybody want to go with me to see the 28-hour marathon?
Wear a diaper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And get an IV.
Well, I've seen all of them enough times, except for the new one, obviously. That I don't know if I mind getting up and going to the bathroom because I know where the dull parts are and I know whatever. But
my question is, you got to eat. Is there like an hour break in there?
I saw somebody do some speculation that said if you figure out the runtime of all these movies and then you figure out even if you add in the extra ones like Rogue One and stuff, there's still some time in there for breaks.
Mm. Are they showing Rogue One too?
Is that all? I don't know. They said they didn't know if they were or not, but if they are, that definitely gives some. It still gives some time for breaks.
You don't have to see Solo, I don't think, but I think Rogue One is part of the story.
Yeah,
I'm just hoping to find 28 hours over the next 2 months to actually watch them individually.
I think that'd be worth taking off work for.
Yeah. All right. Yep. So that's your
That's my shout out. It was a long shout out. My dream is just started planning some stuff for the holidays. So I'm dreaming of the holiday season. I love the holidays, but I also get very stressed at the holidays. My family's kind of all over the place. I have to do 1,000 different things with 1,000 different people, plus work stuff, plus whatever else, vacations, and, you know, got all sorts of stuff. So I was overwhelmed at first, but now I'm trying to just kind of realize it's going to be a busy time and just enjoy all of it. So that's kind of what I'm dreaming of, is just kind of putting the stress away, letting it melt, just kind of enjoy it. It's coming up. I mean, we've got Halloween next week, and that really starts it. So just pretty excited for that. So I'm dreaming of a peaceful holiday season. I've got tickets to the Disney Christmas party at the Magic Kingdom. It goes from like 6:30 to midnight after the park closes. And so really, really going to do Christmas big this year. So
nice.
Looking forward to it. Yeah. That's very what I'm cool. dreaming of the last couple of days. Bought the tickets for that and just kind of ready to go.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's exciting time.
Benji.
Yo.
What's up?
My shout out is, I got so much stuff. Before the show, I was like, what do I want my stuff to be? And now I gotta hone it back some. My shout out is to our network, the HP Video Game Podcast Network. Lots of good shows on there. We talked about it, you know, at the end of a couple shows. Maybe some of you guys didn't stick around till the end. You missed all the plugs.
Just turn off now.
Jerks. Just turn it off now. But the HP Video Game Podcast Network seems to be a really good group of people. I would like to take full credit for that because I organized them. Just kidding. I'm not really taking full credit. They are obviously their own people. But it's really cool to see people like hopping in. Hey, can anybody help me with this question? That kind of thing. And just everybody growing their shows. And there's a lot of good content. Some of the shows I've actually started listening to on a regular basis now. So that's really cool. And then my dream, I want to follow up on last week's dream and then give you a new dream. Following up on last week's dream was about being excited for PAX and getting pumped and ready to go. We've now got our flights booked. We've got our Airbnb booked. We've got our travel plans, like, you know, while we're in the city booked. Now we just need, you know, the whole, you know, we got media passes and all that good stuff that goes along with that. So, but the big hard part where I said, I don't know, probably spent 10 hours with a spreadsheet and a bunch of different Airbnb listings just trying to find the perfect one over like a 2-week period of time. And I think I did, and we should be good to go. The other part of my dream is twofold. One.
You have a threefold dream, but
two parts.
This, you're going to start having to put rules on dreams and shout outs.
You're going to respect it.
It doesn't mean that we're going to have to maybe, you know, tone some things down here.
What did Vince Vaughn say in Anchorman? He's like, Ron Burgundy, I may not like you, but damn it, I respect you.
Yeah.
So that's what you might not like what he's about to do.
The first part of the second part is very short. I'm dreaming about watching the new Letterkenny season.
Right.
Oh man, but I can't wait.
To follow up with that,
I'm
really dreaming about Phil, Dustin, and I, and Dustin's wife Holly, got some tickets to see Letterkenny live in March, which is actually after PAX. So my dreams right now are in March. February and March, but I'm looking forward to that. That should be exciting.
Everyone should watch. I don't know if we've ever said this. You should watch Letterkenny. It's on Hulu. So go out and watch it.
I just got chills thinking about that.
Wow.
I hope he walks out on stage and says a big, how are you now?
He will.
Yeah. And everyone says,
man.
Good. And you, the whole crowd. That was great.
Oh man.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Very good. I'm excited for
that. That's good. I liked all three parts of that.
Oh, yeah. All right. For me, my dream is going away next week to Virginia. It's always just a nice, relaxing time. It just fits. It's going to fit perfectly because this week I'm finishing a very large project at my one job. And so that'll be a huge stress relief that's out of here. And then the following week, I'm going away for a few days. So it's very nice that that's working out. And I think Brandon's going to be down in Virginia as well, along with some other
people.
When
are you guys going? I'll probably pass you on the way back home.
We are leaving Wednesday at some point and coming back Sunday.
Gotcha.
So
you will pass Monday. Him, but not he won't be on the road. You'll just pass his house.
Yeah, it's true.
My shout out is for, I picked up Ring Fit Adventure. Mm-hmm. And it's been very cool. I'm surprised how cool it is and how much I like it and how much of an actual workout it is. And so I've been using it and Holly's been using it and it's been very cool. Does this intrigue you guys, either one of you at all?
It doesn't not intrigue me, but it doesn't intrigue me at all.
Yeah.
It does not intrigue me.
You actually have exercise equipment at your house.
I do.
It wouldn't intrigue me then. I don't think either.
Yeah.
But no, it's cool. I mean, it's like divided up between where you'll like travel through a level or you're jogging and using the band to like shoot stuff, which is kind of cool. And then you'll encounter enemies where your attacks are basically you do different like sets of exercises. So it's like to do this attack, you'll do this many squats and then it will lower, take out their damage. You can block by like you push the ring against your abs and like tighten up your abs or whatever. And so that's how you block. And certain attacks will attack multiple enemies. So it's surprisingly in depth.
I'm surprised at how little buzz I've seen about it around the internet.
Here's a weird thing. I think I told you this, Ben. I went to Walmart because it said available. You could click order and do in-store pickup.
Right.
And I get there. They don't have it. And the dude's like, yeah, I haven't seen it. Sorry.
Right.
Okay. So what happens if I click the order now button?
They have to find it.
I almost considered doing that.
Yeah.
Went to Target. They said it had order pickup. Order it now. I get there. She looks it up, says they don't have it. I'm like, what the fuck? So I had to go to GameStop.
Yeah.
So apparently other people are buying it.
Right.
In our small town area. But the reviews for it were pretty positive.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people are in agreement that it's surprising. Another really interesting thing about it, just from a technical aspect of the Switch, is when your Joy-Con is in the ring, you can hit the stick down and it'll go boop, boop, and it will turn on. And then the Switch will not be on, though. And so you can, you know, sit and watch TV and like stretch the band or whatever, or do like different reps, some kind of whatever you think will help you do.
That's exercise. Probably what they had in mind.
Yeah.
Sitting and watching TV while you exercise.
Right.
Yeah.
So, but it will make like a bing, bing sound and it'll start to like collect up. And when you're done, you hit the stick in. And then when you log in the game, it gives you a bonus towards your character and like either gives you a gift or like some XP. So,
yeah, it's kind of like the, what, the 3DS when you had the steps.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it just, that was
Street Pass.
Yeah. Street Pass and stuff. Yeah. Let me know about results. I'm more intrigued hearing you talk about it. If it doesn't get results, I'd rather just play a video game.
Here's my goal in its use. I'm not expecting to lose a bunch of weight. For me, I have to just stop eating like it's my last day alive, which is what I currently do every day.
Right.
That's how I lose weight. So my goal is that I've been having more and more back pain and shoulder pain from sitting so much. And it's because I literally don't do any kind of exercise at all.
Okay.
So my goal is just to loosen up, try to build some core strength so I can sit and not be in pain. So I'll let you know.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I have that too, like the back pain and stuff. So today I did some like leg lifts and back raises and
right.
a bunch of stuff like that. So.
Yeah.
Which is not fun.
Oh no.
At all.
I will say that it is effective in being fun at exercise. Maybe that will wear off once the novelty is gone.
Mm-hmm.
But I do feel like I really want to get through so I can see the next area. And like it keeps adding every time I beat an area, it adds new attacks or exercises. So you can like choose your sets of exercises and stuff like that. Eventually there's like health potions and you can like mix smoothies that give you different buffs and debuffs. So it's surprisingly in depth for its RPG systems, but there's some mini games on there. I might have you guys try the mini games.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe after this. Okay. So that's it for dreams and shout outs. Let's get into the news. Not that there's a whole lot, but let's start out with this one first. Cause I just thought this was totally out of left field. This comes from Inquirer.com. Five Below is planning on opening esports gaming centers in their stores. It feels like a Mad Libs.
Yeah.
Almost. But I'll just read the very beginning of this article. So that's all that matters. Trendy Philadelphia retailer Five Below expects to have a new attraction in some of its stores by this time next year. Esports gaming centers. The esports pilot will begin small, several stores in 2020, but with the potential for Five Below to expand the number if the concept is popular. To do it, Five Below is partnering with Nerd Street Gamers, the Philadelphia-based developer of training and competition facilities for esports. Five Below CEO Joel Anderson said Thursday that there are about 100 Five Below stores with excess space for the 3,000 square foot centers with 30 to 50 personal computers for video gaming. A traditional Five Below store has 8,500 square feet. Let me see.
So weird.
Yeah.
This is just so weird. I feel like the trick is they can only play games that they have on the shelves. So it's like, are you smarter than a fifth grader DS
yeah.
esports challenge? Something like that. Wow. This is so weird.
Battleborn. Half the square.
Yeah.
There's like 700 copies of Battleborn.
Definitely
on the
Battleborn.
Every Five Below you go to.
And one copy of Titanfall 2
yeah.
somehow.
The only other important detail that I'm really seeing in this is that it'll be open the normal hours of Five Below, and it'll be pay-as-you-go rates. So that could range anywhere between $1.50 to $5 an hour. And they also envision this as a place where there will be tournaments, which would cost $35 to $100.
This is so weird.
So what do you guys think about this? Obviously, it's weird, but that's the thing. Is it weird enough, and are they on just enough of the cutting edge that this could be something huge?
Are they on the cutting edge?
You got to figure...
With this idea,
oh, yeah,
specifically.
I guess here's my thing. You got to figure that if you're going to run a store like Five Below where everything is under $5 or $5 or under, you kind of got to watch the trends, get in the stuff that's going to be popular but still cheap enough that you can afford to sell it for under $5. You got to move through inventory fast.
Right.
With that said, they have to know their demographics. They know that a lot of their demographics are, you know, teens and young adults, maybe, I don't know, and weird grandmas looking for stupid Christmas presents. Mm. If they feel that there is a demographic there that would support video gaming of this type, then why don't they make an effort to get more, like, closeout video games? Like, every time I go in there, like Phil and I were joking about, there's usually, like, one or two games, and there's 700 copies of them.
Yeah, right.
And I would feel like, even if they're five-year-old games, if they can sell them for $5,
mm-hmm. oh yeah,
they should have more there.
Right.
I don't know why they would think that, why they're identifying this as a key step forward for their stores when they don't seem to have a lot of video game content now.
Mm.
That's just my confusion.
A lot of that, like, Barbie Equestrian game.
Yeah. They used to have Battleborn there.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, we were just talking about that.
Yeah, and Titanfall 2 was there.
Yeah, we talked about both of those. I don't know where you've been. Yeah, we mentioned both of those.
I don't know. I must have been. I'm probably
reading dying or something. Honestly.
That's actually where I rebought Titanfall 2.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know. It's an interesting idea. Hopefully it works.
I think something important to think about this in the context of is... This is what GameStop is hoping to adapt to.
Somewhat, yeah.
Somewhat.
Yeah.
Which, that's my question, is that they're calling it an esports center where you can play games.
That's not esports.
Do they mean esports, or do they mean just like a place where you can rent to play an Xbox for
an hour? Where is this square footage? None of the Five Belows around here have all this open space either.
It's not open space, but they are big stores.
They're big stores, but
but they're so cramped.
Yeah, they're very cramped. So, I don't know. They'd have to take out a lot of stuff. I don't know. Maybe nobody's buying the felt posters that you color. I think you could take those out.
I bet those are a top seller.
Probably.
Here's my question is that we have no need, us three, and probably most of the people listening to this podcast, have no need to go pay $5 an hour to play a video game
somewhere.
It's like it doesn't make any sense. Even if you want to try out a game, you could Redbox it for cheaper than that and take it home.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So that and the people that would be interested in that have it at home. So who is that really for?
I have no idea.
Those weird grandmas looking for funny Christmas gifts.
Now, on the flip side, if it was like, hey, you can enter your 4-person team into a Halo tournament for $20 and you just go and show up.
Right.
You know, it's whatever, $5 a person or whatever.
We would probably do that.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Right.
So that sounds appealing to me, but I just don't know about the other half of it.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I don't know.
But internet cafes are so popular in like Asia and stuff like that.
But
so,
those are, you pay to use the internet.
Right.
You're not,
they have internet at home though.
Well, not, maybe not in Asia.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what their,
because it depends where,
internet demographics look like.
Yeah, I don't know. That's weird. Like,
maybe there's a social component too. I don't know.
Hmm. Yeah.
And even here, if someone can't afford to pay for the internet, they can't afford $5 an hour to play a video game at a store.
So you'd be surprised what people spend their money on that they don't, that they should spend their money on, but they don't.
Ah, I see what people spend their
money on. Yeah, I know. Yeah.
Yeah. That's, I'm not surprised by anything anymore, but.
My prediction is this will flop big time. And unless it's marketed, like, especially with GameStop, I think GameStop really could do it right.
Right.
And as far as making their stores a community center.
Right.
For gaming, because we have community centers for sports. Everything or something else. Like that.
Right.
So why not? I mean, of course, there's the retail component of it as well. But
well, they don't sell anything. So
what, GameStop?
Yeah. No, I don't know.
I bought my Ring Fit there.
That's true. You did say that.
But that was the first thing I bought there in months and months.
Hey, you know what happened to me?
Hmm.
I bought some GameStop stock.
Oh,
I made like $1 a share. I think I might have shared this before. Sold it when it like skyrocketed up and then it kind of was starting to drop back down. I sold it, made like $1 a share on it, which was pretty good. And now it's like $2 above that.
Damn.
I'm really kicking myself.
Wow. Interesting. I bought Fire Emblem there because I couldn't find anyone at Walmart to let me into the cabinet. But it was actually $10 cheaper at Walmart.
Yeah.
I waited for like half an hour trying to find someone. I'm just like, fuck it.
That's the problem is that Walmart is selling a lot of games for $10 cheaper.
Yeah.
But you have to find somebody, which if you're there at a weird time.
It's almost impossible.
Is almost impossible. And they don't necessarily carry as many copies on hand.
No.
So they sell out.
A lot of the Switch stuff, one or two copies is all I see in there.
Well, that's funny because, I mean, you're right. I've had those same experiences. But I also, like, if I go to Walmart, it's got to be at, like, midnight to 1 o'clock. And there's always somebody in electronics stocking something. And they're like, you need any help? And I'm like, no, I came here so no one would talk to me.
Huh.
Well, a lot of times the place they have where, like, right by the TVs now where I don't know what they do there. It's maybe the phones and
stuff. Cell phones, yeah.
But, like, that closes at 7 or 8, something like that. And that's usually where they hang out. And if once that closes, it's sometimes hard, at least in mine anyway, to find anyone.
Right. Okay. Let's go ahead and move on. Let's see. Google Docs, please open. Okay, PlayStation 5. So you guys remember that leaked mock-up of the dev kit?
Yep.
Right?
Yeah, it was like a horseshoe looking
thing. So I don't know what the news is here other than it appears that that picture is real. And I'm currently showing Phil and Ben that picture on my iPad. And it does appear to be real. It has a disc drive. It says prototype, not for resale. It's got, looks like, 3 USB 3 ports, a regular USB, more than that, more ports than that, actually. So,
well, it's a dev kit, so it's going to have more.
It's surprisingly put together for a dev kit, though.
That's
usually
kind of
a lot of times they
too.
Don't have like the casing on it, and it's not, you see the components, it's not, I don't know.
I mean, sometimes a dev kit just looks like a PC.
Looks like the inside of a PC. Yeah.
Right. It's just in a box. Right. Like, it's not some kind of designed.
It scares me how put together it looks.
I don't know. I don't know how to feel about it. Like, I'm just sitting here looking at it and like, maybe it'll look better in person.
Well, that's, first of all, that's definitely not final.
No,
we all
definitely
agree
not
that.
Final, but is it possible that the PS5 could be a variation?
Entirely possible. Kind? Yeah. But the weird thing to me is, who's going to get fired for letting that pick get out?
Mm.
Somebody.
Yeah.
Somebody potentially could get fired.
Because I know they send...
Sean Layden.
Sean Layden, yeah.
I know they send dev kits to quite a few publishers or developers, but do they send them to enough that they couldn't track down?
You have to imagine there's so many people that have this right now.
Yeah.
Like, if you think about, like, Call of Duty team, whatever, Treyarch.
Yeah,
has them right now.
They probably got 150 of them per office.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then EA, whatever game they're coming out with, whether it's Battlefront or Battlefield.
Right. So you got the big guys having them. But like, does anybody else? I'm not talking about ones. Can they narrow it down to what studio that came from?
I don't know if there's any way for them to identify where it came from.
Because I don't know. I doubt super indie studios get dev kits.
Yeah. I don't think they get dev kits. I know that they get briefed.
They do get briefed, yeah.
And so
could be some.
We
of
now know publicly it's backwards compatible,
right?
Yeah.
But there was a time when developers knew and we didn't,
right?
So,
yeah, could have been someone fired that just had that picture on their phones.
Yeah, and they were just like, you know, fuck it, right. Release it. So,
like Sean but Lane, they did again. Crop it to the extent you can. I mean, they like cropped it to the extent you can't really tell where it is.
Right.
Right. That's essential.
There's no like Insomniac logo in the back.
Right. Yeah. Could and be what's interesting is you'll see there's a little black blob. That's probably a serial number or something like that. They would have been able to trace it.
Yeah, they definitely blacked something out there. Interesting, for
could
sure.
Could be a reason they haven't bought Remedy yet. I don't know. Maybe.
Oh.
Maybe the leak's there.
You know, I wonder if that's still happening.
No.
I doubt it.
You think that...
Not after the poor numbers control put up, I don't think. Unless they're like, well, now we can buy them for dirt cheap.
But the other thought is, I'm wondering, like, Control was published by 505 Games.
Right.
No money.
Right.
They don't have the marketing dollars that Microsoft would have had with their previous releases.
Right.
Or anything like that. I mean, Sony did put it on their stage at E3.
Yeah.
But...
Was that their stuff at PAX too? Wasn't it?
Right. Yeah. It was at the Sony booth. So
yeah.
I don't know.
Probably not going to happen though.
Part of me thinks the sales won't matter.
Maybe.
Because I don't think it didn't sell because it was a bad game. It was clearly a good game and critically did very well. But people either didn't know about it or weren't interested. So I don't know.
I feel like there were commercials for it. Like I don't even watch TV and I feel like I saw commercials.
I don't know if I saw a commercial. You know what I'm still seeing commercials for? Gears 5.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Because it will sell through Christmas, guaranteed.
I think they're just trying to help try to get people on Game Pass.
Probably.
Many people as possible.
And they're probably really smart for doing that.
Because, you know what? I don't know if we've ever thought about it from this aspect. Is the more people they can get attached and integrated into the Game Pass ecosystem before next gen, so many people are going to have to decide PS4 or PS5 next Xbox.
Right.
They're going
to
say.
Especially since they're launching close to the same time.
Look at all these games on Game Pass.
Right.
Look at how many games I can have right off the bat.
Right.
With Xbox. Or I already have because, you know, having Game Pass.
Yeah.
So it is such a good deal.
It's a bold move.
Bold move.
We'll see if it pays off.
Cotton. Let's go ahead. I'm going to skip this one because it's boring. Analog, do you know who they are? They're the ones that make the new old consoles.
Oh, yeah.
Super Nintendo, and they have a second one out. They announced this past week a new handheld.
Oh, yeah. I saw that.
So, let's see. I actually forgot to write down the actual name of what it's called. I just wrote all the details. But anyway, it's basically like a...
It's like a Game Boy Advance, pretty much, isn't it?
It's shaped more like a regular Game Boy. But
oh, you're right. I was thinking. Yeah, you're right. You're right.
The thin Game Boy.
Yeah, I was thinking of like the SD or whatever that was.
Right. So out of the box, it is compatible with 2,780 plus Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance games right out the box. So it plays Game Boy, Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance. So it does have like a little shoulder that it has the shoulder buttons on it. Now, what's also interesting is that, I think it's called Analog Pocket. That's it.
Okay.
The Pocket will also have cartridge adapters for other handheld systems like the Game Gear, the Neo Geo Pocket, Atari Lynx, and more. Which I'm like, what else would there
be? What else is there? Yeah.
So the other interesting thing about this is that it is not an emulator. Because obviously there's a dime a dozen things that will play Game Boy games. Some of them will play cartridges. But it's all emulation-based, that it reads the ROM and then it emulates the Game Boy hardware through however means. These run off of FPGA hardware, which is basically... I don't even know exactly how to describe, and even if I fully understand, other than it's able to emulate the hardware through hardware and not software.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Maybe? I understand it. I don't understand it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So that's what makes it authentic and full compatibility across the board.
But it can run ROMs, right?
So no.
No. Okay.
Sort of. If history is any indication, their previous devices do not run ROMs out the box. But they always have modified firmware that runs ROMs off an SD card.
Right.
So more than likely, we'll see this thing be able to run ROMs anything. Shortly after release without any issues. There's also some other interesting, neat technical specs about this. So there's a 3.5-inch screen that's an LCD on it. But what's interesting is that the resolution is 1600 by 1440p.
Wow.
For a 3.5-inch screen. So, for example, my giant computer monitor here is a 1440p screen. It's 1440 by something that I don't remember, 2000 something. So that's a 32-inch screen, though. This isn't a 3.5-inch screen that has that much resolution. 615 pixels per inch, which is just
incredible.
Insane.
Yeah.
Like, I'm almost like, is it necessary?
Yeah.
But I'm into it nonetheless.
No, they were so worried about whether or not they could. They didn't think about whether they should.
Right. So let's see. It charges through USB-C, and it has a rechargeable battery on the inside. Now, in addition, Analog will be releasing a dock that you can dock it in. It has HDMI output. It uses has USB imports, so you can use your own controllers. It has Bluetooth. So
that is very cool.
Very cool also. The last interesting thing is that a lot of musicians will actually use Game Boys as synthesizers.
Yeah,
and they have to buy either modified hardware or some kind of special thing. This is going to have a synthesizer built in to the hardware.
I saw that too. That's pretty cool.
Ridiculous.
Very, very
so
cool.
So cool.
So
yeah.
What's the verdict on this, boys?
I don't think it's for me, but I think it's going to be a cool product.
We have a price point yet.
It's like 200.
I don't know. Did they even say the price point? Yeah, 200.
I think it's 200.
It's 200 for the device itself. Now, they did not say how much the dock costs.
Right.
I'm guessing that's another $100.
Or the adapters or anything else. But
and something important is that Analog charges an insane amount to ship their products.
Yeah.
Like $50 or something like that. Like $30 to $50, something like that. It's just it's clearly just a they're trying to make the price lower, but they jack you up on the shipping in order to even things out. So
although you'd be surprised at how much it costs to ship things.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, though, because like I've gotten things shipped from all over the place and I've shipped things before. It should not cost $30 to ship that.
I agree.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
So I'm wondering, I don't know. Okay, so those types of games are not games right now that I'm thinking about wanting to play.
Mm.
So for me, it's like, well, I could buy this, and I know I could play those games, but I've got a bunch of retro games on my Switch I don't play.
Right.
Not that those are the same thing. I get it. It's a different systems, but
it'd be like a $200 Golden Sun console for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't know for me personally if there's a need for it. With that said, I think it if it's they cool. live up to everything they've said so far, it's going to be awesome.
Just the original Game Boy Advance was such a – it played all those games too, but the screen was so poorly lit that you couldn't see shit. So it just kind of pisses me off that I'm not like a kid right now. If I was the age I was when the Game Boy Advance originally came out, I would want that as my only Christmas present and play the hell out of it. But
because that's the thing. You could buy a Game Boy SP – the one with the
it was backlit, that one
backlit screen, the better version, and it definitely won't cost $200.
And it'll play all those games. It won't have the adapters and blah blah blah. But
here's what I will say: everybody needs to go out right now to their GameStop, and they have the used game section, and they have a bunch of old Game Boy. And
do they still have a Game Boy?
They did like bins and 2 weeks ago. I don't know.
Oh.
Not 2 weeks ago, like 2 months
ago.
I
didn't know they still had those.
I think so. And you need to buy up a whole bunch of popular ones for cheap. Because they will disappear and go up in price whenever stuff like this comes out.
Smart.
I always wonder, how can they get away with this? How is Nintendo not sue them?
I don't know. Because you buy the license to the game. there's nothing says you buy a license to the Nintendo.
Well, the patent probably ran out.
I don't know.
I feel like Nintendo would renew those. Because I just feel like, imagine if Analog was like, hey, everybody, we're releasing a device that plays Nintendo Switch games. And it has a 4K screen. And it's compatible also with all your other Game Boy games. And every, like, you know what I mean? They couldn't just release a new version of the Switch.
But what's the other machine they released? It wasn't the Super Nintendo?
They have a Super Nintendo and a Sega Genesis one.
And I guess they figure if they didn't get sued over that, they're not getting sued over this.
It has to be something to do with the fact that they're not actually using the same hardware.
Yeah.
And it's like, well, if you plug one of their games into this, it just happens to work. Right. Not like happen, you know what I mean? But
like a Blu-ray player where...
Blu-ray players are licensed.
Yeah, they got to license every one of those.
Yeah.
Forget it.
So
everything I said.
Every time you see the little Blu-ray symbol, somebody paid for a dollar. That. I don't know if it's a dollar or a penny, but it's something.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sure it's not a dollar.
Damn Sony, I was a HD DVD adapter.
Oh, you had that?
Oh, for sure I did.
Do you have the Xbox One?
I did. Whenever Blu-ray kind of won, I took everything to the exchange and traded it in.
Dang it. I wish I had one of those.
I was really salty because like I had a 50-50 chance. I'm like, I wasn't a PlayStation guy yet, so I'm like, I could either buy a PS3 or I could just spend a little bit less money, get this adapter for my already operational Xbox. I chose poorly. Yeah.
It's so interesting thinking back on the different format wars and looking at the dead formats.
You know, like, what the deciding factor was for that one?
What's that?
Porn.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Porn won Blu-ray. They took over. There was, you know, porn was what chose Blu-ray as like its way to, and that's what actually was the deciding factor. Yeah.
I had thought that it was because basically the big movie companies usually pick sides on, and so.
Yeah, they picked the one that porn went with so that they would.
Really?
Yep.
Yeah, because it was like, at first it was like a half and half, and then some of them bailed.
Like King Kong, so right. Like all those, they were on HD. Like I had the, I don't remember what I had. I had a huge collection. I remember I had The Kingdom, if you remember that Jason Bateman movie.
Yeah.
All on HD.
Do you guys remember beta tapes? Because I sure as hell don't.
I've seen them before. Yeah. I never used them.
No, like laser discs.
Oh, dude, laser discs are awesome.
Axe Murderer, so I married an Axe Murderer on
laser disc. We can't find that.
Can't find it.
We can't find it. We don't know where it is, and I am very upset about it.
The laser disc version or the regular DVD Blu-ray version?
Laser disc.
They had the laser disc. Yeah.
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 Oh, that's terrible.
That's why you had to buy a new one the other year. What? Years ago.
A new what?
A new copy of that movie.
No.
You know, you totally have your Laserdisc player.
Oh, yeah. The Laserdisc player. You know what's interesting about the Laserdisc is that there are some really good versions of Star Wars on Laserdisc that are like better quality than VHS, but not the new.
Pre-special
whatever the
edition.
1999 was it 1999 they did that
it was
or
right 99? Around there.
97
yeah it was before the prequel
guys I made a really bad prediction years ago maybe a year ago where I said that Disney Plus would launch with the unedited Star Wars
and they can't even launch with all their movies because they're licensed out to other places
really like Netflix
there's only like 6 Marvel movies that are going to be on it and stuff. Yeah, they can't even get their own stuff on it.
So eventually all their stuff will be on it.
Yeah, once the licenses run out, yeah.
I saw people saying, Disney going to put Song of the South on there?
Dude, I know. They're not.
No, they won't.
They never will.
They definitely won't. They don't want to acknowledge their history that they might be slightly ashamed of.
It's a weird piece of history because I think that was the movie that I should do my research first, but I think the first black actor won an Oscar for that movie.
Really?
I think so. I don't know. I'd have to go back and look, but I think it's a weird, it actually has some good history, but also some terrible history. It's a weird movie. So they're best just to probably leave it alone.
The history about the movie is good. Yeah. The history in the movie.
Right.
I didn't know anything about Song of the South. So I watched a YouTube video about it and either one of you seen it? Cause isn't it just basically like on this plantation, they're slaves, but it's like, they're happy. And it's like,
it humanizes it. Yeah.
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 It doesn't act like anything's wrong. So, but they don't actually ever call them slaves in the movie.
I don't remember.
I don't think so. But it's been years. I mean, you can't even.
I watched it in college in an art class or something or a history class. I don't even remember what class it was now.
Disney has a bunch of other racist shit too, though.
Well, I know, but it's just real funny though. Cause like they pretty much came out and said Disney Plus will stream with or launch with everything but Song of the South. It's like the only thing they said will not be on it.
Everyone's freaking out about all the shitty Disney Channel movies.
Who cares?
That they're putting on there.
The weirdest one, I think, is there was something that they basically, Miracle on 34th Street.
Oh, yeah.
They, like, added the Disney logo to the front with the 20th Century Fox.
Yeah.
Trying to, like, claim it as their own. But
you know, a lot of people are like, I'm in. I'm going to get this. And I'm like, in. 100%. Listen, I will do the trial and I will subscribe. If I like The Mandalorian, I will watch it.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't know. I'll probably cancel it after that until I want to watch something else.
Tell me, I got instant access to Swiss Family Robinson whenever I want to watch it.
Oh, what?
I am in.
Blu-ray.
I don't even know if it's on Blu-ray.
I don't know. It
probably is.
You know what I'm excited for coming up here? It's Apple TV Plus.
Really? Only there's because there's nothing that's excited me about it.
They got the fucking Band of Brothers sequel coming to that.
Did
Yeah.
There's two shows. I don't even remember what they are. One of them was with Steve Carell.
It looks amazing.
And I will watch anything with Steve Carell.
Morning show.
Yeah,
oh,
that's
my
right.
Gosh.
That's coming. Is it Jennifer Aniston, too?
Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon.
I will watch that.
It looks crazy good.
That will be worth the free trial alone.
Yep, for sure.
Or if there is a free trial, I don't even know.
Yep.
But I'm excited for. I mean, yeah. I'll probably check it out.
Yeah, and the Band of Brothers follow-up. HBO lost it. They had the first two, but they lost this one to Apple Plus.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Do either one of you watch Watchmen?
Not yet.
No.
A lot of people are saying so it's very good.
A lot of people are. IGN gave it a 6.
Really?
Yeah.
They gave Joker a 10, though, Phil. So
that's true.
That's the opposite of what you think.
Then Watchmen's probably phenomenal.
Phenomenal. What is it? Is it a retelling of it? Is it take place after?
It doesn't look like anything I've seen.
It's not canonical. Okay. It's just set in the world, I think.
In the world.
And I'm talking out of my ass here because I haven't seen it. But based on what I've seen around it, it's kind of set. It's an inspiration for. But you've seen the original the Watchmen movie and you've read the comic, right?
Right. Yeah. Okay.
It's got Blue Dick in that movie.
Yes.
Blue Dick.
There's a lot more of it in the book, too.
Yeah, there is. Yeah, that's true.
I think Watchmen is very good.
Uh-huh.
The comic. I think it is slightly overrated.
Yeah.
Alan Moore's kind of overrated, actually.
Yeah. Alan Moore thinks he's overrated.
I think Alan Moore probably like eats babies. That's the impression I get from him when I see his face.
He kind of looks like a serial killer.
Yeah. When I heard that Zack Snyder was making that movie, I'm like, that is just that's a recipe for most of the things I hate in this world.
Yeah.
I thought the movie wasn't bad.
It was not good.
No, it wasn't good.
It wasn't.
You know what's a really excellent, though, is that there's a motion comic where it's the exact same as the comic, but it has voice acting and it like takes the original illustrations and kind of like adds
that I would like
motion.
That's pretty cool.
It's very cool. I highly recommend it.
I'll have to check that out.
They also did a Blu-ray of the like comic within the comic.
Yeah.
What is that called again?
It's about a ship.
Yeah.
I can't remember what it's called.
I never really understood that.
I never understood it when I was reading through the comic, how it fit in, or through the graphic novel, how it fit in. But I've never watched the animated version of it.
Mm.
But the movie, I don't remember a whole lot about it now, other than that some of some big things were changed, like the ending. But I do know that I have a glow-in-the-dark head that's the case for the Blu-ray. I got it in a bundle of stuff. And it's like, nice. The case is Mr. Manhattan, not Mr. Manhattan.
His head does not glow.
What's his name? The blue guy.
I know.
Mr. Manhattan.
Dr. Manhattan's head. It's that glow in the dark.
I feel like that would freak me out if it was at nighttime. It was like sitting on your shelf.
Just put it
on
a shelf.
Yeah.
Whatever.
I have not seen that movie in 10 years, probably.
Mm.
Wow. Yeah, me either.
Yeah.
Well, I watched it since I was married because I wanted my wife to watch it.
I watched it when I was married. To somebody
the first
else.
Time.
It's been a minute.
We've got a couple minutes left.
Okay.
This is something we don't traditionally do, but I just wanted to check, touch base and see what you guys have been playing lately.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it's fun to do every once in a while. I feel like it starts to weigh down podcasts when you do it every week.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, once in a blue moon.
Yeah, it's good.
Phil, what have you been playing?
Very little. I've actually been having to play. So I reviewed a couple games last week, finished those, and shortly after I finished Far Cry 5. So a couple weeks ago I finished that. I knew I was really too busy to get into anything big, so I've just been playing a little bit of Black Ops 4.
Ooh.
When I have a minute or two, and I picked up Star Wars Pinball for the Switch.
Okay.
Which is surprisingly incredible. It's a lot of fun. And the first game that I actually really like playing in handheld mode, which you can also play in vertical mode.
Oh, nice.
And turn it upright, and it actually looks like a pinball cabinet.
Yeah, you can buy a vertical holder thing for your Switch from on Fangamer.
Yep. Oh, nice.
Basically, yeah, the playing in the vertical, though, there's a couple other Switch games that do the vertical thing, like Downwell.
Okay. Yeah, this is the first time I've used it in vertical. I still don't use it in vertical much. I just tried it out. I think it feels fine, just horizontally with the Joy-Cons on, but it's a lot of fun. I it's really great. They have like 19 different pinball tables, and there's some really extensive, like, you know, leaderboards and all sorts of fun stuff. There's actually like single player game modes, and I don't know.
Right.
I go way back with Zen Pinball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was cool that they didn't just like, you know, I don't know. It's its own standalone thing. It's a physical cartridge. They actually put it out physically.
Oh, you know, I think I saw that at Target.
Yeah, that's what I got. I got it at Target. It's $30. It's a lot of game for $30.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
It's infinitely replayable.
Yeah, it is.
Neat.
It is. Yeah. So that's pretty much it. Free time, not as much as I'd like, but yeah, been able to dabble with those.
Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah.
Ben?
Two things. One is just I've been playing a ton of Destiny, which, you know, is great. It's very good.
Destiny, Shadowrun.
Shadowkeep. Yeah. Shadowkeep is very good.
Did you play Iron Banner at all?
No.
Oh, you didn't?
Huh.
Damn, Iron Banner actually got me pretty good this time.
Yeah.
Do you know what that... Like,
yeah, I know
what
it is.
It's like the light-based competitive. Yeah.
You were talking about it the other day, and it made, the more you talked about it, the less I wanted to play it.
Yeah. I hated it at first, but then once I leveled up more, I started to like it more.
Okay, nice.
I was a little underleveled.
Yeah. I liked it in vanilla. I used to play Iron Banner a lot back then.
So, I mean, you'll probably talk a little bit about that, but it's good. It's great. I also played a game called The Ninja Saviors, Return of the Warriors.
Ooh.
It is basically a side-scrolling beat-em-up. That's the best way to explain it. Almost like you'd play the arcade, you know, but you get an option of a couple different characters that have different abilities. Parts of it kind of do seem a little slower than I remember some of those arcade games being. But of course, history has its way of playing tricks on your mind. But overall, it's very good. It's just, you know, it's everything classic you could want. All the best enemies with the worst soundtracks, and like it's nice. Really good. Nice. So. Having a lot of fun with that, too.
Very cool. I've been playing Destiny 2 as well. I actually got all of the Iron Banner armor, which I didn't think I would do. Now I'm playing competitive to try to get the Recluse, which is like a special weapon you can only get through doing competitive. It's really pissing me off.
Yeah.
I'm not that great at competitive.
Right.
But I'm decent. I can hold my own. The first time I played, I was doing great, winning every match with random people, pretty much. Today I played four or five matches, and I only won once. And the problem is people on my team are shit. Yeah. And that shouldn't be the case because I'm shit. Right. You know what I mean? Right. Like, there was a round where I, at the end, had 15 kills, and then the next highest was 3-0. Ooh,
wow.
And I was like, guys, what's
going on?
Was
I on your team? Was that
I don't know. That's the funny thing is that sometimes I'll see that I'm on the top of the list. I'm like, that's not good.
Yeah.
There's no situation where I should be the best player on the team.
Yeah. Right.
So I don't know. That's been a little frustrating, but other than that, I mean, I've been kind of holding off on starting something new because I want to play Outer Worlds on Friday. I was kind of thinking, I've been like toying with this idea of playing like an isometric RPG. I've never played one before. I just realized, like, I've played Diablo, but I don't consider that the same thing. That's like an action isometric. So I was like, do I just start with Divinity Original Sin 2, since that's like the very best? Do I start with something like, was it Paths of Exile? Is that it?
That's the game. Obsidian, I don't know if that's one. Yeah.
That's the Obsidian one. Yeah. Paths of Exile. Do I go back to Baldur's Gate?
Yeah.
Do I play the original Fallout 1 and 2? I don't know. Have you ever played any of these?
I played Baldur's Gate.
Okay.
15 years ago or something like that, whenever it came out.
It's out on PS4 now.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm. Huh. They just put it out.
You know what you need to do You got two games you need to finish so I can borrow one of them.
Ooh, yeah. I actually hopped into that this week. Hopped into Astral Chain.
Yeah.
I really should probably completely put Astral Chain on ice and then just blitz the rest of Zelda because it won't take very long.
Right.
So I'll definitely probably also play that, finish Zelda at least by the time I leave. When I'm on trips, I'll play Switch quite a bit. Trips to my parents' house, I play Switch a lot. Boy trips to like E3 or Boston, and I don't play.
We all take our Switches and hardly and not ever play. Yeah.
Maybe a little bit on the plane, but that's about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's about it, though. So, and that's about it for our podcast.
Yeah.
So, thanks everybody so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed it. If you've ever played an isometric RPG and want to recommend me one, please do that, but tweet it at Handsome Phantom. That's our Twitter account. You can tweet us there. You can visit our website, handsomephantom.com. That's where all of our content gets posted. Also, check out our video game network that we're a part of. We don't have a central hub for that, do we? Like a website?
There is a repository on iTunes where we're all in there, but I'm working on some kind of a website that's for everybody. Yeah.
So more incoming.
What about System Shock?
System Shock. That's not a.
Isn't it?
That's a first person.
Yeah, is it really?
Yeah.
Is System Shock first person? Yeah. I always thought it was.
Phil, checking out your watch over there. I like your new band.
Thanks. Oh, the pink band.
So, yeah. So I got some lemons and I made lemonade.
Yeah.
So I ordered this dark purple and white Handsome Phantom type colored band for my Apple Watch. And what came was this pink and white thing. But it came in October, so I've got the pink on. I'm supporting the breast cancer awareness this month.
There you go.
So kind of I made some lemons.
Can you return it?
With my lemonade. So it was $4, and I contacted them, and they're like, how's a $2 refund? I said, sure.
That's
fine.
Yeah, that's
fine.
Great.
Whatever. And I was also supposed to get like a black and gold kind of Steelers colored one, and it's like black and green. But I'm like, yeah, whatever. They just said, the colors are sometimes a little different. Well, okay.
It's very different.
That's quite different. Yeah. Purple and pink are at least closer than, yeah.
Yeah. So, whatever. Yeah. Like I said, it worked.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Cool.
Yeah.
If you want to talk to Phil about his new Apple Watch band, you can join our Discord at handsomephantom.com/Discord.
Or Joker. We can talk about that.
You can talk about Joker. That's something you could do.
Spoiler alert. Sucks.
Whoa. I don't agree with that. But I also don't think it's the best thing ever.
I saw Abominable that same weekend, and it was a better movie.
No.
Whoa. Yes.
Finally, if you want to help us out financially, you can go to handsomephantom.com/Amazon and use our affiliate link, shop on Amazon. We get a cut. No extra price to you. And that's it.
That's
it for the show, everybody.
That's all she wrote.
You think we'll still get that cut if Bernie Sanders is elected and he charges $9 billion in taxes to Jeff Bezos?
I don't know.
Probably.
The same with Elizabeth Warren. She wants to break him up.
Right.
So
we'll see.
That could hurt the HP podcast.
We'll still get our pennies. Yeah.
Yeah. We might get a couple less pennies. Yeah. So
what are you going to do?
Not good.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Until next time. See you later.